Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us today, she is the wife of the late, great gymnast, Kurt Thomas. Becky Thomas, you're here again to discuss the legacy, the gala, the foundation. And, of course, you know we got to talk about the Paris Olympics because I was thinking about you as I was watching all of the U.S. Olympians perform, especially the gymnasts led by Simone Biles. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing just wonderful. The gala is right around the corner, and that's a major fundraiser. And we really, really love to support the Kurt Thomas Foundation for all the scholarships and the things that you guys do. But I want to first talk about, where were you during the Paris Olympics? Because I was at different places because, you know, it was over the week. But still, I just want to know if you had a chance to sit and watch some of the great young Olympians that were performing, especially some of the kids who were here from Dallas, Fort Worth, the Plano area. In fact, I think it was Hazley. Was she out there at the Olympics?
Yes.
Hazley Rivera?
Yes. The Paris Olympics was incredible. And I know that I was glued to it, but I know that a lot of your listeners were glued to it as well. What a great couple weeks for sports. I mean, to turn on the TV and see such incredible athletes every single night and day was amazing. And the gymnastics was incredible, not just the women, but the guys team amazing. And again, showed us that men's gymnastics is back on the map, which was so great to see.
Another kid from the area, he's 20 years old, Asher Hong, he did a great job as well.
Yes, he did. He'll actually be at the gala next year. They're doing rehearsing right now for an Olympic tour. But yeah, he did a great job. You know, they all represent our country so well, and they're all so incredibly talented. But what's neat about this group of men and women, they're very diverse from each other. They're, you know, a long time ago in our sport, it was the short, tiny, little girls that were very, very young. And now you're looking at seasoned athletes. They can hit the board with power for vault. They can tumble through the ceiling for floor. And it just makes everything so exciting. And then you've got the men who, holy cow, come out of the woodwork. You win a bronze medal. You've got Pommel Horse as the highlight, which, you know, is Kurt Thomas's wife.
Oh, yes.
Love that. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching flares and
the
and
flare. Yep. Yeah, the flare.
Yeah.
Kurt's signature
Thomas
move.
Flare. Yeah, that's his. He invented that, and it was used in every single pommel horse routine that you saw in the Olympics. It's a requirement now for them. So it was really, really cool. It was neat for them to announce the history of the sport, and you kind of know what was going on. And then to watch these athletes and for it to come down to the line with the women winning gold and then the men getting that bronze at the very last event when, you know, they had to sit the whole time and wait. It was just, I thought it was spectacular. And it was so good for our sport. It's such an amazing sport.
It really is. It really is. And again, the Olympics, not just the World Championships, but the Olympics themselves, seems like all eyes are on just any kind of sport. And the USA has so many great teams and different individual participating in the Olympics. And all I could think about was USA, USA, USA.
Yes. And USA. You were mentioning the men, the women, but holy cow. I mean, our women are on a whole different level. And that's so neat about our sport is it evolves constantly. And I know most sports do, but I feel like when you watch what they're doing on, for instance, the floor, what Simone Biles is doing, what Sunny Lee is doing on the floor, but also on bars, Jordan Chiles, Jade Carey, what they're doing is so ahead of where this sport was, not just 4 years ago, but 8 and 12 years ago, it's completely upgraded a whole nother section of levels. It's just amazing to me what the body can do when you train it and push it.
You know what? People were just saying Simone can just fly. They just said she can fly. She can
she can do things the men can't do.
Exactly.
In my opinion, there will never be anybody like her in the fact that she pushes the boundaries. She doesn't have to do the skill level she's doing. Her skill level is so high. And that was one of the big things about her vault with the Yurchenko pike double.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her coach would stand on the mat and take the deduction because it was so dangerous, but it didn't even matter if he took the deduction because her start values were so high. She can take the deduction and she can sometimes land short or not necessarily make the vault her best, and she will still outscore everybody because she chooses to push the envelope and do the difficulty that we haven't seen before. And it's fascinating. And the men talk about it too. The men are in awe of her, and they should be. It's amazing.
It's
what she
absolutely
can do.
Amazing. And again, her story and her shining the light on mental health awareness with the twisties, mm-hmm. that kind of sabotaged her performance in Tokyo where she couldn't perform. Can you talk about that, the twisties? Because a lot of people aren't familiar with it, except for when they heard about it with Simone.
It's very prevalent in gymnastics. Gymnastics is special as a sport because it is 80% mental,
yes.
minimum.
I
know a lot of people that will tell you it's 90% mental, but it's 80% mental minimum. And you have to be on your game and focused. And it's very hard to be that kind of focused that much and that often and on that often. And what happens is your body gets used to the air awareness, right? So mm-hmm. in twisting for a gymnast, they can do a full twist, a full and a half, a two and a half, a three, and they know where their body is and they know where to stop. Well, you start training different values of twisting, right? We're going to do a three and a half versus we're going to do a two. And what can happen is you lose your air awareness as to where you are in the air.
Is it almost like vertigo?
It's not like vertigo where it's dizzy. It's like the ground comes before you're ready for it.
Oh.
Or the ground comes after you're ready for it. I would almost explain it like if you step off a stair in a moving ship and the ground isn't where you thought it would be. You're training skills that mm-hmm. are so hard and so dangerous that if you don't know where the bottom is, where you're going to land every time, she not only could get severely injured, she could end her whole career in this sport with one vault or one floor pass where she had the twisties and couldn't find her way back to the ground. That's the best way to describe it. You get lost in the air. So you're in the air and you're lost. Now you throw in lights and you throw in a crowd and you throw in the difficulty level that she has. And it is a serious thing. It's got a cute little name, but it really is nothing to laugh about. Yeah, it's dangerous. Her taking control like that in front of the entire world and walking out of the Olympics and saying, hey, look, you've got to be there. You've got to literally know where you're going to land. And she was saying, hey, I don't know where I am in the air and I'm not okay with that. Instead of just going for it, in the past, especially when the skill level maybe wasn't as difficult mm-hmm. and as dangerous, gymnasts will just push through it and they may fall. And people that are watching may never even know why they fell but the twisties has been along for a long time. It's been around forever. But the difference is she acknowledged it. She talked about it. She took ownership of her gymnastics. She stepped aside and said, look, we've got a great team. Here you go. You girls can do this. I am not going to be in a position to be able to feel like I can do what I need to do for this team. And I'm not in a position where I feel safe. And, you know, she had a lot of fallout from that. Mm-hmm. And I have to be really honest and tell you, for anybody that knows the sport and knows how difficult what she's doing, if she is just a fraction of a second off, Chris, she could literally break her neck.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
So for her doing that, I think it opened up the door for a lot of gymnasts that questioned themselves to say, it's okay to take a step back. I'd rather be safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And that's what she did. And I think that for our sport was huge. And for everyone to understand that, listen, if you're not on the top of your game, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You have to do what you feel is happening with your body at the time.
It made everyone who was watching even more appreciative that didn't know the backstory, but they heard about it or they got to see a little bit. You know how they show a little montage about what someone is about to do, and with the, and I loved, in other words, I love the way they were doing the coverage, because you got a little a piece of their lives and see how they were to get to, at this particular moment. And for Simone, she's like you said, arguably the greatest gymnast of all time. Do you think she'll compete much longer? Because she's a little bit older now.
She's a little bit older, and I'm sure she wants to enjoy a married life and have a different journey as well. However, I can tell you, as far as her being able to, I've never seen anything like it. And I'm sure she, if she wanted to do another push for 4 years or even just come in at the last two, it wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. And actually, she is the only one that broke Kurt's record. So Kurt had his record until Simone came along. I think it's awesome. And back on what you were saying, when they would do snippets for Simone leading up to her routines, it was interesting to get an inside look. I think especially for people that don't know gymnastics, but they released her Simone Biles Rising on Netflix right before the Olympics as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it dove into that. It dove into her mindset, why she made the decisions she made. And I think they did a really good job on the Olympics of trying to show everybody that, listen, this is what she went through. These are the battles that she was fighting, and this is where she is now. But even after the Olympics, she did this thing. I don't know if you saw, it was really cute. She did a little snippet, a little social media snippet, and she's sitting on the vault, and it says, "Rest in peace, Yurchenko Double Park." Meaning that's it. That vault is the scariest vault. And she's like, that's it. And I just thought that was the cutest way to handle that. Instead of saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to do it again. I don't know if I like it. She was just like, I'm done.
Yep, she's done.
I might bring it back, but I'm done with this vault.
She's past it. She has moved on. I love it. We are talking.
And listen, her start values were huge.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she could fall a couple of times and she would still be on top. Now, as she, you know, progresses, obviously the bar is set so much higher. So all of these gymnasts are working harder to try to catch her. And she's setting the bar higher and higher and higher and higher. And they're all trying to reach it. But to be honest, I don't think many people are going to. She is just one of those special, special, amazing talents that we don't see. And we don't see it in our sport and never have until her.
Exactly. She is one of a kind. It's kind of like Michael Phelps is just way up there. And he was able to participate in so many Olympics. And, you know, we can go on with the on and on with the different athletes and the different sports that, like, you know, Tom Brady, there'll probably never be another one. There'll probably never be another Tiger Woods. There'll probably never be another.
Right.
Just go on and on and on. And so she's up there. And again, I'm just glad that I get to talk to you about it because, again, this has been your life too. For those who don't know, you're just joining us. We're talking with Becky Thomas. She's the wife of the late, great Kurt Thomas. She is also the executive director of the Kurt Thomas Foundation. They've got a gala coming up in another week. As a matter of fact, it's Friday on the Friday, September the 20th. We're going to get into that in just a little bit here, but I'm just still in that Olympic buzz. You know, I'm just feeling it. And I keep thinking about how the phrase stick the landing is after these Olympics, everybody's using that phrase across sports and across all kinds of things because now everybody knows that's what it means. It means you perfectly finished it. You've perfect landing. You stuck the landing.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And isn't that great? And it's part of gymnastics and it's being used like it's a nothing for everyone. I love it. You know, and one other thing about Simone too, you know, when she was in Texas, when she was growing up, she lived in Houston. She competed at a lot of our meets. She competed at the Kurt Thomas Invitational for years. She was a little one. One of those that we watched grow up around here. So I think as Texans, too, we're very loud and proud when it comes to Simone because we watch this. And we watch this child come out here at 10 years old and hit the floor. And we all watched her skill level as coaches and thought, holy cow, this child is special. And to watch it now come full circle as she's been in the Olympics numerous times and probably maybe will be again, who knows. It's exciting to see that all come to fruition.
Most definitely. You know, I've got to tell people a little bit about the foundation. For those who don't know, Kurt Thomas established the Kurt Thomas Foundation in 2002. His vision to create a platform to give back. And, you know, things got kind of hectic. He had to put the foundation aside for a little bit until he passed away. And you guys grabbed it, and you personally grabbed it and said, you know what, there's a lot of opportunity here to help some more people out. Can you talk a little bit about the foundation and how you got started and some of the challenges along the way?
Absolutely. And honestly, if I'm being really forthright, I think in some ways it was a little selfish for me because I struggled really, really a lot when Kurt passed away. It was very sudden. He was the healthiest person you could have ever known. He had run 4 miles that day. I mean, it just was so out of the blue and so sudden. And I was looking for anything I could hold on to make a difference, keep his name out there, let everybody know who he is and what he wanted and what his vision was. And he had started this foundation. And like you said, it was kind of put on the back burner. So I reinstated it. I filed it. I got a board of directors of 10 of his closest friends and Olympians. And I called them all personally and said, hey, this was what he wanted to do. I want to make it happen. And every one of them was like, I'm in. Just tell me what you need. I'm in. And shortly after that, I received a packet in the mail from an old friend of his. When he had first established the foundation, he sent it to one of these friends. And he said, this is what I want to do with this. And Kurt had all these handwritten notes and who he wanted to be on the board. And it was like this aha moment of something coming down and saying, this is what you need to do. And here are all the rules to do it. Here's exactly what I want. Here's who I want on the board. Here are the people I want you to talk to. And it was life-changing. And the reason that we're doing the gala is to raise money for not just men's gymnastics, but scholarships mm-hmm. for athletes that normally wouldn't get to be able to train this kind of a level, because training is very expensive. The meets are expensive. The travel's expensive. And it's one of those things where normal families struggle. The last thing they need is trying to get a child who's got incredible talent to a national team or an Olympic Games when the money to get there is so difficult. So we spend our time raising money to give away these scholarships, and they can use them for their travel, their tuition, anything that helps them from a gymnastic standpoint get to their goals. And it has been incredible. And the reason we do the gala is it's actually in September. The reason for that was that September 9th was Kurt and my anniversary. Okay. And I didn't want to go into every September mourning the loss of my husband. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go into every September being excited to share with everybody who he was and what his vision was for all of these gymnasts to come. And it has been the most rewarding, amazing experience. And again, the September 9th was recent. And I woke up that morning, and it's been 4 years since Kurt passed away. And my whole being was grateful and excited about this gala and about what we're doing for this sport, as opposed to feeling bad for myself or feeling like this was the worst thing ever. It was the worst thing ever, but I really want people to remember Kurt and what he did. And he was an amazing gymnast. He changed our sport. He was a phenomenal coach. He was a wonderful father and husband. He was just a really, really good and generous man. And being able to give these scholarships in his name and talking to these men, it is the coolest thing. When you get online and they don't know, one of the neat things is they don't know that they're going to receive the scholarship when I get on Zoom with them and some of the board members. They think they're in the top five or top seven mm-hmm. or top 10. And to watch it and to watch their parents break down with relief that this financing issue is off their shoulders is incredible. And we celebrate that at the gala. We give them their check. We have Emerald City come play. We have Olympians, tons of Olympians. And it's just a great, fun, exciting night. And obviously to raise money for men's gymnastics and for these scholarships. And because of your show, we extended the deadline. So it's Friday, September 20th. So it's 8 days from now. But because of Better Living, we're leaving it open for a couple more days. If you want to get tickets, please All right. come and join it. You will not be disappointed. Phenomenal time. Casino, like I said, Emerald City, who was Kurt and my favorite band. And if you're anywhere near Dallas, you know exactly who they are.
Yeah, they're the best. Great they dinner. Yeah, outstanding.
Yeah, and so you grab your wife, you know, and mm-hmm. you have her put on her pretty dress, and you go and just have a really great evening that supports great upcoming athletes in our sport.
Yes, it's an outstanding nonprofit. We're talking about the Kurt Thomas Foundation, the Black Tie Gala. That's right. You can be like James Bond, Black Tie. walk into the casino and Emerald City's playing the music in the background. The tables are all set. I'm sure there's going to be a silent auction as well, right?
We have some of the best silent auction items. We're
nice.
Doing a lot of raffle too, which is really cool because it comes from the casino. Mm-hmm. As you play, you win tickets for the raffle items, which are like an Emmitt Smith signed football and tickets to the Olympic tour for Front Row that's coming into Fort Worth here soon. But the silent auction is one thing, but we're also doing a Paddles Up this year with three big things. And the three big things I'm so excited about. The first one is a Margaritaville trip. The second one is a signed basketball from the Mavs, including two tickets right next to Mark Cuban, which I'm thrilled to have.
Yes.
And
Luka's
awesome. The one that signed the basketball. So there you go there.
Wait a minute. Slow down. Wait a minute. Slow down. Oh. Did you just say you've got an autographed Luka basketball for silent auction? Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you what, the Dallas Mavs, they're my people. I got love them. And they're so incredibly supportive to everybody in our area. And I do. We have a Luka signed basketball and two tickets to a game right next to Mark Cuban. So they're great seats. I have sat in those actual seats before. And I'm telling you what, it is insane.
They're right by the team's bench and their baseline. Right? And it's like, they're unbelievable. And you got Mark screaming and hollering and whooping it up. That's my guy.
Yeah, and you're right in the middle of all the action, right? Mm-hmm. I always thought that was great because when we were down there, I would say things like, am I supposed to be hearing their plays? Because I can hear everything.
Yes.
But so fun, right? And you're like right in the middle of all the guys, which is an incredible experience. And then one of the other things that we have, which I'm sure will be a very popular item, is we reached out to Taylor Swift's people, and we have a signed electric guitar from Miss Taylor Swift.
Hold on, wait a minute. The Swifties are going to lose their minds.
I know, right? And it's so cool. It's purple. It's got a picture of her on it, and she signed it for us. And I'm thrilled. I already have like started thinking, am I allowed to bid on this stuff? Because between the Mavs package and the electric guitar and the trip to Margaritaville, any of those I would love to have. So we're really excited to have those for the people attending the gala, and they can bid on them right there, take them home with them that night and be playing the electric guitar by the time they reach their house. So yeah,
that's
very exciting. And if anybody doesn't know a lot about the foundation and what we do, this night is a fun night. It's a night of celebrating. And in that celebrating, we raise money, which is great. But the entire evening is built around this camaraderie of high-level athletes that have all come together to support each other. And it is just a phenomenal, phenomenal evening.
And that's because Kurt was such a phenomenal guy. And you are, like I said, a phenomenal woman, keeping this thing together and making this thing get bigger and bigger every single year. Let's talk about, we've talked about the kind of guy Kurt is. Let's talk about what kind of an athlete he was, because a lot of people have heard his name and they say, oh yeah, Kurt Thomas, gymnast, but he was an amazing gymnast. Can you talk about some of the history of some of the things that he's done? Because he's up there.
Oh, absolutely. He is probably, and not just because I'm biased, but he's one of, if not the best male gymnast of all time. He put men's gymnastics on the map for our country. And this in Stroudsburg, he won. He was a 3-time gold medalist, a 2-time Olympian. He has 4 skills named after him in gymnastics. He has a Thomas on high bar, which is like a hop full. He has the Thomas on P bars, which is this really cool mount. He used to mount the P bars from the side, which no one does, and end up in a V seat sitting on top of the P bars, which was so cool. And then he has his most known skill, which is the Thomas flare on pommel horse, which is when they're doing that fan with their legs. You see it in breakdancing. You see it everywhere.
That's right. His leg is straight up in the air and it's kind of like flame. It's like a flare of a, it's kind of like, how do I explain? It's like a flame.
It's like a flame. And it used to be circles. Like they would keep their legs tight. And during practice, he was like, I wonder what it would be if I let it go a little and opened it up. And he came up with it when he was at Indiana State. That's how it happened. But that particular skill is by far the most popular because it's now used as a core element that the men have to use in their routines. So you see it all the time and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then the other skill that a lot of people don't know about is Kurt has a floor skill named after him. It's the Thomas on Floor. It was banned from women's gymnastics after two people unfortunately broke their necks on that skill. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is it's a twisting element that ends in a front, basically what you would call a front somersault almost onto the mat. So he's coming from up in the air down onto his neck. Mm. And so it's a very, very dangerous floor pass. So it was banned for women's gymnastics. It's still in men's gymnastics. And Kurt has that skill as well. So he has four skills named after him. And, you know, he used to tell me all these really cool things about his training. And listen, this, I will tell you, as his wife, black and white. There was no gray with this man. If he was going to diet, he was going to diet on 104 degree weather with a sweatsuit on, drinking lemon water and eating naked chicken breast for 3 weeks. I mean, this is, we had no middle ground. And I'm very much the, I'm going to start a diet, but I'm going to do it slow. And maybe tomorrow it's a Sunday, so I won't really do it. And maybe that was not Kurt at all.
Hit the ground running.
Oh my gosh, in such a crazy way. And I think this is what made him such an incredible athlete. He would tell me these stories, Chris, where he'd say, I wouldn't allow myself to watch TV. And I remember saying to him, what are you talking about? Well, during training, I said, well, in training, you're at the gym. He goes, no, you don't understand. He said, when I wasn't training and I was at home, I wouldn't allow myself to watch TV unless I was going to do push-ups during every single commercial, because whoever I'm competing against, they're working right now. Hmm. And if I'm not working right now, they could get ahead of me. And I used to think, wow, that mentality is not what normal athletes think about, in my opinion. This is a whole nother level of being competitive and a whole nother level of him yearning to have these exciting skills and routines that he wanted to do so bad. He was going to make sure that he out-trained everybody. And part of that, he would tell Bart. Bart beat him once. And he said to Bart Connor, he said, that was great. You're never going to beat me again. And he was right. And he didn't say it in a conceited way.
No, just being competitive.
Okay. All right. I see you. Not happening again.
Well, speaking of Bart, I've got to have you tell the stories, because in a way, Bart Connor and Kurt Thomas were the Jimmy Connors and John McEnroe, who played tennis competitors. But they're very competitive, but they wound up being friends, right?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Okay, so they were good friends at the beginning. Bart grew up in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and he had a private coach, and he could afford those luxuries. Kurt grew up in Miami, and he did not have those same luxuries. He grew up with a single mom. He was one of four. His dad was killed by a drunk driver when he was only seven. So it was a very much different kind of a situation. Kurt's training basically happened from a high school coach that read a book on gymnastics that was a wrestling coach. Mm-hmm. That's how he started. He didn't have any real training till he went to college. But Bart and Kurt both did really well. Bart ended up at OU. Kurt ended up at Indiana State, but they were both fierce competitors on the world stage for gymnastics. So they ended up, just like you said, with the Jimmy McEnroe, they ended up being fierce rivals, mm-hmm. fierce, to a point where they didn't talk for several years. Mm. And it wasn't because they were angry with each other. It was just because they were so competitive.
Yeah.
And remember that what makes you competitive in sports also makes you competitive in life too. It wasn't just about gymnastics. This is just his personality. Mm-hmm. And Kurt and I were watching a championship, USA Championships. This was several years ago, probably 15, 20 years ago now. And Bart was commentating. And Kurt goes, it's Bart. And I go, yeah, it is. And Bart says, that is the Thomas Flair after my good friend, Kurt Thomas.
Wow.
And Kurt looked at me and he set his drink down and you could see it. He was emotional. He was grateful. And he picked up his phone immediately. And Bart is live commentating. He picked up his phone immediately and he texted him and he said, dude, thank you so much for that. That means the world to me. I miss you. And Bart answered back, you got it, friend. Miss you too. And that was it. After that, the two of them were doing dinners together, calling each other, supporting each other. They just needed it to be okay to not be competitive, if that makes sense.
It does.
And wow. I tell you what, it meant everything to Kurt that Bart would acknowledge him in that way and that they could bury the hatchet. So what's interesting about that is they became very close. And I look back at the relationships that Kurt had, and I am so grateful that
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Bart, in their lives, found that together. They had the best of everything, right? They had this competitive fire. They had this friendship that they didn't talk. They talked all that. He found that. And he had that before he passed away with Bart. And what's really cool, and I don't think, Chris, that I told you this, but every year at the foundation, we give away an incredible award called the Flair Award. And the statue that is outside of Atlanta Games is a huge statue of a Flair. It's been there since the 96 Games. The sculptor, his name is Richard McDonald. He's amazing. He has a gallery in the Bellagio in Vegas that a lot of people have walked through and seen. He makes us a version of that, a small version it's called a quarter life, and it goes to the winner. The winner this year of that Flair Award from Kurt is Bart. So Bart will be at the gala with Nadia. He will be accepting
Nadia Comaneci, for those who don't know, that's his wife.
Yeah.
Another great gymnast.
Yes. And actually Bart, they call him Mr. Comaneci sometimes, but yes, he'll be there and he'll be the recipient of it. And I think the coolest thing about that is knowing their history and knowing how much Bart and Kurt respected each other. I am thrilled that this is going to Bart this year. And I can't wait for him to receive it and for him to feel that connection still with Kurt that I feel like those two will always have.
Let me tell you something. This has been such an outstanding conversation. And we want to remind everybody again, Friday, September 20th, that is the Kurt Thomas Foundation Black Tie Gala. And you don't want to miss it. Where can they find more information? And again, Becky, we can't thank you enough for joining us. Where can they find more information?
You can go to KurtThomasFoundation.com. And across the top, there's a little gala button. Just hit the gala button and you can donate if you can't go. If you don't want to donate, you can buy a ticket and come and support and have fun. And for us, just going and learning about Kurt and the foundation on the website, we would love for you guys to all know more about it. And I could talk all day about Kurt. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
And I am thrilled. And it's 8 days away. You guys, we're getting so close and we're excited. This year we're offering two scholarships. We had people come in past our first scholarship and want to donate money. So we were able to offer a partial second to another young gentleman as well. But we cannot wait to celebrate that night. And Bart, Tatiana Gutsu, who's an Olympic all-around champion, Nadia, John McCready, all of our U.S. Olympic
royalty. They
royalty
are royalty.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be amazing. So, well, Becky,
yeah, I can't thank you enough for having me, because I just love being able to share such an amazing person and an amazing charity with everybody.
Thank you, Becky. Appreciate you.
You too. Thanks so much, Chris.
And joining us right now is Dr. David Woody, the president and CEO of the Bridge Homeless Recovery Center of Dallas. How you doing, Dr. Woody?
What's going on, Chris? Good to hear your voice. Things okay?
Yes, it's good seeing you a couple of weeks ago. I really appreciated the visit. Yeah. I was able to go down there with the Dallas Mavericks and look at the new tech center you guys had dedicated, and I was just totally blown away. I had heard about the Bridge lots of times. For those who don't know, the Bridge provides shelter services and or a strategy for escaping homelessness, and I knew it was over there downtown right off, right near Farmer's Market. I said, I've got to go by there sometime. And I finally got a chance to, and I got a chance to visit with you. And it's been a while. How you been?
I have been good, Chris. It was so great to hear you and to be with you. Frankly, it's been a while since I've been with you at the Mavericks event. And again, you know, for you to come and to host that, and frankly, what the Mavericks have done in terms of our learning center. We had a space there. We've been at the Bridge, for folks who don't know. We've been in this location right off the Farmer's Market for 16 years. And we had a space that looked like it had been around for 16 years. And the Mavericks came, spruced it up. And it's a center for our folks who were trying to get connected to a housing solution or to employment. We've got some new laptops. We've got some tablets. And we also use that in the evening as a sleeping space for females, unsheltered females. Mm-hmm. And so to take that space up a notch, Chris, through the Mavericks was an amazing thing for them. So we're appreciative to you and to the Mavericks for that.
Oh, for sure. Anything we do to help. Again, what I was so impressed with, I'd heard so much about the Bridge. And to see it with my own two eyes and to walk the space a little bit, I was just blown away because it's a really nice facility that what you take care of 600 people a night. I'm trying to get the numbers down because I'm like, this is very, very impressive. It's very well kept. Right. And I'm like, it's not what you would probably think of in a movie. It's like, well, this is pretty nice.
and that's so important, Chris. Again, there, unfortunately, folks have described that when they did the last point in time count in January this year, that they identified 3,718 folks who didn't have shelter that evening.
Wow.
Okay. And folks are excited because that's a reduction. In 2023, it was over 4,200. So they're claiming that there's a reduction. I would tell you, though, Chris, here at the Bridge, we are seeing more folks on the campus than ever for day shelter services. In fact, we are averaging, you said 600, or almost 700 folks on our campus looking for an escape hatch, right? Mm-hmm. A plan, frankly, to leave homelessness. And so for us to offer all of the services we've got here, I want to offer every service possible on our campus that would help an unsheltered citizen find an exit from homelessness. And that's everything from a meal. We are so thankful that folks from the Mavericks would come at the end of the dedication last week and help us serve a meal. Mm-hmm. For many of us, to serve them a meal is the first step to trying to build just enough trust that they would take advantage of everything else we've got here. A shower, a hot shower. We have clothing. We have a kennel. There are some folks, right, Chris, who won't come off the street if they have to abandon their commanding canine. Mm-hmm. We have a kennel. We full right now, over 26 canines here.
Wow.
We've got a library, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have art classes. We have care management services. We're trying to offer everything, Chris, that would allow a person to both get themselves ready to sustain a home of their own and to connect them with what we think would be the best housing solution right here in Dallas. And that's in an environment, Dallas, which you know is like there's not enough affordable workforce housing here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working with landlords, okay, who want to give folks a second chance,
mm-hmm.
right? Reduce their rent. We may have some benefits or a housing voucher to bring to bear. And we've got almost 50, 55 landlords we're now working with so that we can house folks. The big thing for us right now is that a year ago, we are anticipating how many folks we would serve, right? But so much is happening upstream in our communities that is leaving folks homeless, right? Right now, in July, Chris, we had already seen the number of folks that we saw all of FY23, okay? So we're looking at probably a record of maybe 7,500 unique folks that we delivered services to on the campus this fiscal year, which we couldn't believe it. So for us to be able to talk a little bit about it and then request some support from folks in the community, either come down, help us serve a meal, make a donation to us, North Texas Giving Day, a week from today.
Yeah,
we love folks' help. So So it'd be great to talk a few more minutes about all that we're trying to do on the campus.
Well, we want to talk about that because what I like is that you provide a strategy and options for strategies for so people can get out of the cycle of being homeless. And I also want to laud you for bringing up the fact that it's not the typical person you would think is homeless. It's, oh, it's somebody that's on drugs or alcohol. It's families in middle class neighborhoods who no longer have jobs that suddenly find themselves sleeping in cars and then they don't even have the car anymore. Can you talk about some of those situations? Because every situation is unique, but it's not the stereotypical movie where, you know, someone's strung out on drugs and they wind up homeless.
You're right, Chris. And if I'll tell you this, most folks don't want to take it seriously, but it could be just one thing, right, that could trip you off into homelessness.
Yep.
Your car breaks down. Your boss said, hey, you know, you're not here, so we're moving on. Mm-hmm. You don't have money to pay rent. The rents are outrageous right now. Everybody talking about it. Right, Chris?
Right.
We 3 years ago, we thought that the kind of the average rent for folks that we were trying to get connected to a housing solution, well, $1,200, $1,250, whatever. It's almost $1,700 a month if you're trying to find someplace downtown Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. So just think of it's like for like my daughter, right? My daughter, a lawyer, wants to live downtown. Dad, can you help me out, right? But for a homeless person, right, that's going to be a struggle. And so the pandemic, that was the one thing for too many folks that tripped them off into homelessness.
Yeah, right? I heard some stories.
Their job roll up from underneath them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Issues of, for example, intimate partner violence, okay? How it is that people manage some of the stressors are in our environment. That can move folks into homelessness. Again, loss of a job, a mental health challenge, okay? These have been some hard times, right? And one of the things for us, Chris, is that we know in communities of color, right?
Mm-hmm.
We lack resources. They're just not there. I can tell you the number of guests who come to the bridge. And like you're saying, Matt, we couldn't believe what was going on campus and what folks would say, Dr. Woody, had I had access to some physical health care or mental health, behavioral health care, substance use care in my home neighborhood, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that's really important that folks just love about us is you don't have to get in an Uber. You don't have to take DART someplace. We got all the resources right here. And unfortunately, we see over 60% of the population we see is African-American, which is another whole thing here in Dallas. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, for those who don't even know, you know, Dallas-Fort Worth is a growing area. A lot of people moving in from all over the country. But ironically, 20% of Dallas residents are living in poverty.
Yeah.
And most people don't even know that. They don't understand that. And that's the latest data from this past January. It's like, it's sometimes staggering when you think about it.
That's right. Over 30% of folks living in poverty, and especially, again, in communities of color, that number skyrockets.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's no secret as to why it is that here at the Bridge, we're seeing more and more people. Another thing, Chris, since the pandemic, one of the things that used to be that about 3/4 of the population that we see would be male, okay, about 1/4 female.
Mm-hmm.
The number of single females, Chris, that we're seeing in need of our care is closing in on 35-38%.
My goodness.
Okay. So many have those behavioral health, mental health, and or substance use issues that we try to get stabilized, get them an assessment here. Again, we have a great partnership with MetroCare Services. They have a clinic right on our campus. Okay. We don't have to send them someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And we make sure that based on that assessment, right, that if they need to be on medication, if they need a certain kind of treatment, we're trying to bring those services to bear for them right here. And I have an intensive care management team, okay, all licensed social workers,
mm-hmm.
okay? And those folks have additional training in terms of working with folks with behavioral health, mental health, or substance use issues. They carry a lighter caseload, and we know that when they come into our care, we may need to wrap our arms around them in a different way than for our traditional unsheltered citizen that we may engage.
And that's important. That's huge.
Exactly. And again, when folks come to the bridge, they need to know that there's only one guest entrance and exit. Okay. We are trying to protect folks' confidentiality, but we also want to have a safe, secure experience here mm-hmm. on our campus. The campus is just a little under 4 acres. Okay. Mm-hmm. But in fact, like you were saying, I'm trying to make it just like my house, Chris.
Right.
Okay. And the thing is this, okay? It needs to be neat. It needs to be clean, right? A lot of folks come in. They won't tell me, Chris, well, I'm scared, Dr. Woody, to come in on a homeless shelter. I've heard all these mythical things, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what folks do, Chris, when they leave is, it wasn't what I expected.
Exactly.
Okay? And again, to have a space where folks don't have to have their head on a swivel, they can take a deep breath, a place of respite, and then have our professional staff, our guest recovery associates, or our peer support specialists actually engage them. Where did you sleep last night? Have you had a meal today?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need some fresh clothing? Did you get a shower today? Have you seen a care manager? Okay. To begin to have those kind of conversations is how we build that care and housing plan. That's our exit strategy, a plan. Right. A lot of folks, as you would know, Chris, will see me and say, I can't believe, Dr. Woody, that you are in charge of that facility. Right.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see African-Americans in leadership positions
right.
like this.
Mm-hmm.
And what I tell them is this. OK, I didn't get here by chance. I had a plan. And what we're trying to do is help you craft a plan so that you can meet your greatest potential. And folks love that. Okay. Because mm-hmm. again, no, I'm not looking for a handout.
Right.
But we are looking how it is that we can make folks on the inside the best person they can be so they can take advantage of all that's out there. You know,
Dr. Woody, you just said something that struck a message with me, because one of my favorite phrases, I don't know who came up with this, but they always yeah. said, they said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Exactly, Chris. And what I would tell you is that we talked just a few minutes ago about how it is that some folks fall off into homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Most folks don't plan to do that.
Right.
So you don't, sometimes you wouldn't have an exit strategy. You hadn't thought you would ever be in that position. Right.
Right.
And so that's what we're trying to it's okay to take a step back. You know, for many folks, just the ability, right, Chris, to ask for help.
Right.
That's first big step. And I have to have just the right employees who can embrace that, can mm-hmm. empathize with that. And let's take that to another level. If we can get there, then we can create a plan. We can make an exit, you know.
As a matter of fact, the fact that you guys have a unique approach and what you're talking about is letting people know how the bridge has been working for a lot of people with their strategies and providing some plans or helping them work with their plans has been very effective. And can
yeah.
you talk about how it has inspired a few people and maybe tell a story about, you know, a few people or a family or an individual that all of a sudden things worked out right for them because they spent a little time, you know, working with you guys.
Exactly. Again, our goal is to try to house at least one of our guests a day. That's our goal, okay? In an environment where there's not enough affordable or workforce housing,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I got a great story of a gentleman who had come to the bridge who had had a stroke, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ended up in the hospital. Because he couldn't care for himself, he had a lot of additional baggage in terms of lack of support from his family. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so when he got ready to leave the hospital, he was discharged into homelessness. Okay. Without
wow.
a place to go.
No place
and
to go.
So, exactly. And so, again, he had an aftercare set of needs that we needed to address, again, out of Parkland. So we have a clinic, but we have a Parkland clinic here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wound care. Behavioral health care, some physical therapy needs, we could help him get that. What we couldn't take care of on our campus, Chris, we have a shuttle bus to take them back down Don Harry Hines to Parkland so he can get those needs, physical therapy needs taken care of, and then we bring them back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then identify again, okay, this guy, he worked, okay, even with this, okay? How do we manage to get this person who had a stroke and is getting himself back on his feet, how do we get him reconnected to an employment option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have two employment specialists here on the campus, okay, who have relationships with employers, again, looking for, they do job fairs here on the campus. And we have a cadre of businesses, Chris, who will accept, will work with folks with a criminal background.
Mm-hmm. Second chance opportunities.
Right? Exactly. Okay. So once we got him physically taken care of, right, get him back and get him stabilized and then connected to an employment option, then we said, okay, what's going to happen in terms of his housing situation? And again, we have relationships with landlords all across Dallas. We're not just talking about connecting folks with a housing solution in South Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We got relationships all over Dallas. Okay.
Right.
So this person could go, we know what he's got in terms of potential employment options. If he also was receiving some benefits because of his disability, we can package that together and get him connected to a housing solution. Okay. And so he has now been in his housing solution for 3 years. And guess what, Chris? He comes back and volunteers his time here at the Bridge.
Oh, that's excellent. He's giving back. That's excellent.
Exactly. And telling his story. And again, he can talk about the fact that when he first got here, he was very reluctant to trust us. He did not want to accept the fact that truly he needed help. And in many different ways, and how we could prioritize that through his care and housing plan, getting those needs met, physical health, employment needs, and then trying to identify a housing solution was great. And again, he's a very spiritual guy,
mm-hmm.
right? So to connect him with a church home, making sure he can get there on Sunday and
excellent.
Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay? We had to kind of piece all that together, right? And again, for each of us, the slice of our pie is different. Some things we need to prioritize, other things we don't. But the fact that our care managers will try to understand that person and work with a person in terms of a plan, that's how we're going to make that exit strategy come to life.
We're talking with Dr. David Woody, the president and CEO of The Bridge Homeless Recovery Center of Dallas. How did The Bridge come about? And the name The Bridge, I think, is so perfect. Can you tell the story a little bit about The Bridge?
Yeah. Many folks would remember Mike Rawlings. Okay.
Yes.
And back in 2005, 2006, okay, Mike Rawlings used to be known as the housing czar. Okay. He had two things in mind. Number one is he wanted to ensure that we could attract, that Dallas could attract businesses who were looking for a corporate location, space here in downtown Dallas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he was most concerned about, he didn't want to run people off because of the incidence of homelessness. Okay. And so he became the homeless czar. Okay. Did some research, traveled across the United States, trying to put together what he thought would be a good homeless assistance center model. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He brought that to the voters of Dallas, a bond package. We just finished a bond package here. This was 17 years ago, a bond package where he proposed building a homeless assistance center. Okay. And he needed $23.7 million. Okay. They put together the strategy to get that in front of people and how we could address the current issues. And the voters said, let's do this. Okay. And so that's how it is that we ended up at 1818 Corsicana Street. It's no secret why the bridge is located where it is. It used to be a homeless encampment.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember,
I remember that
in this area, it was all cold storage warehouses.
Yeah.
All that. And just think, Chris, in 16 years, right? Crime is down over 55% in this area. Property values are up over 350%. I got high dollar apartments and condos right across the street from a homeless shelter.
Yep.
Okay. So what do people say? Oh, if you bring services to the homeless into your neighborhood, your property values are going down. You're going to attract riffraff and crime, et cetera, et cetera. We are the poster child, Chris. You saw it. It is not that way. And it doesn't have to be that way because the bridge is part of the neighborhood. We have relationships with all of our businesses here. We're part of the Farmers Market Stakeholders Association. We're part of the Cedars Neighborhood Association. They come to us. When they see somebody in need, they're coming to us for assistance. And if you do a look around two block radius, You do not see a lot of homeless people laid up. Well, never. We're keeping it clean. We go out and clean up trash.
Yep.
Right? It's a day.
It's okay? A very nice area.
Exactly. And again, we're part of the neighborhood.
Right.
Right? That's what we're talking about. So again, we cherish this relationship. We are not selling anybody short. And we have so many great supporters who live right here who will come help us serve a meal, help me spell somebody who needs to take a lunch break. We'll come in. We can't manage our library without volunteers. When the library is open, it's because a volunteer is here. Okay. Walk a dog. We got canines. Come help us take care of them. There are so many options because my vision is that we're integrated with the neighborhood. And again, when a guest leaves the bridge, they have that feel, right?
Yeah.
They're going into a new neighborhood, and we commit to housing follow-up, right? Which is, it's just like you, Chris. If you were to leave your house and go to, I don't know, New York, okay? You would need to know, where do I shop?
Right.
How do I travel?
Right.
Where do I get my vacations? If I need a church home, where do we do that? That's what we're doing in terms of housing follow-up, Chris. That's why we can describe that 93% of the folks that we connect with a housing solution, 6 months later, they're still there. They're not trying to get back to the bridge.
See, this is what I love. This is a success story in progress. It's like you had a plan.
Yeah.
Mayor Rollins had a plan. You had a plan.
Exactly.
And the people who all involved, the people who are homeless for a while, in other words, they don't want to be homeless forever. They just put together the plan. And each plan is individual and unique. I mentioned this a little earlier, Dr. Woody, and I want you to kind of flesh this out to me, too. I mentioned some, you know, in various movies, it's like this is not what you expect. You know, what you've got with the bridge is not what people expect when they go over there. And sometimes just being homeless is not what a lot of people expect. Excuse me. It's sort of like when the pandemic hit. There are so many people's lives got turned upside down because they got downsized or their family weren't making the ends meet. And we're talking about middle class, upper middle class. And they quietly did not want anybody to know what they were going through. And then they wind up homeless. And then it reminded me, as we were talking, about that movie Will Smith did a few years ago, The Pursuit of Happiness. I want to know what you thought about that movie, because I think it touched a lot of people and made a lot of people understand homelessness a little bit better. But you tell me what you thought about that movie.
What he did, what he portrayed is the fact that no one, right, is immune. Just that kind of thing. And a lot of folks don't want to recognize, right? A lot of folks don't want to recognize that. Okay. In fact, they work really hard, right? Working overtime, exhausting themselves, trying to figure this thing out on their own. And if you remember, what he did was he had to give up pride, all that, right?
Yeah.
And rebuild himself. Right. And that's what we're trying to do here. OK, for some folks, it's an incredible we're recognizing. Right. That for some people, Chris, OK, it may be 6 months. Right. Of engaging in our services here, that kind of thing. And they're in a home of their own. For some folks, it may be actually going down. Right. Because the bridge is about getting over a chasm. Right.
Yeah.
And for some folks, you've got to go down into the chasm. Right. And get it figured out and get the skills you need to come up out of that. OK, to make yourself better so you can sustain it. And again, that's what we're talking about with that movie. Right. Going down in the chasm
with his son.
Getting, exactly. With a child. Right.
Yeah.
And that the fact that you're going through that and that's not what you wanted for your child.
No.
Having to deal with that and piece things together in a way that you can sustain them. So it's you on the other side, right?
You know what else I like about the bridge? I like the fact that you call the people that you're helping guests. In other words, they're not the other. They're not, you know, somebody that's not worthy.
Exactly. It's so important that folks in the community know how significant that is to a person who is homeless, right? Just think, many folks, they don't want to even look at a homeless person.
Right.
Right? Just think about yourself, coming off Regal World, 30 and 35 in Regal World. Somebody standing out with a cardboard sign. We try not to look at them, Chris.
That's the picture. That's the picture they painted. Yeah. You don't want to read the sign. You don't want to make that eye contact unless you really have a couple of dollars on you. That's the only way.
Exactly. And many people will say this, Chris, to me. The fact that I would speak to them means so much. The fact that we're not treating them as a, the other, the right? Other. As an enemy, Aaron, being afraid of them.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell them. Come onto the campus and help us out. This is the one place. There's no better place if you want to have an impact on homelessness to at least come and safely experience what it can be. And you saw it. When you approach a guest, they want to talk about everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. They're not trying to hurt nobody. And they are so appreciative that folks would even look them in the eye and want to listen to how it is that they got where they're at and how they're making progress to not be homeless any longer.
You know? Exactly. Dr. Woody, you are phenomenal. And again, what the bridge is all about is phenomenal. The guests receive barbershop services, physical health care, basic hygiene kits, clothing and blankets. But more importantly, they receive the strategy of what to do with the rest of their life and how to get out of the cycle of being homeless. Again, I can't thank you enough for joining us. We've got to get you back on again real soon, can we?
That's Don't forget about the Bridge Homeless Recovery Center. We need your help.
And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.